You may proceed.
Thank you. My name is Terry Barber. I represent Donut Holdings. And I truly will try to make this brief this morning. We appeal only a part of Judge Jacobson's order in this case. And that is the part that has to do with him saying that essentially we did not prove, the plaintiff didn't prove that he was entitled to collect some final royalty fees and advertising fees from the Riseberg store, which was one of the early Lamar's stores, and it was in Springfield, Missouri. The crux of the matter is we feel there was an issue raised about the failure of the judge to grant default judgment against Riseberg stores. But the real crux of this that I just want to emphasize is that I think for whatever reason, Judge Jacobson simply missed the evidence as it was going by.
What's the basis for your claim for relief? Is it the franchise agreement?
Yes.
Okay.
The case was decided in August of 2015, and when it came time to discuss the claims of the plaintiff against the intervener Riseberg stores, what the judge said was that the plaintiff didn't consider the franchise agreement to have continued beyond June 18 of 2009 based on the evidence that the plaintiff wasn't extending to the defendant and the intervener the benefits of the franchise relationship supports the conclusion that any agreement ended, that an agreement, if any, ended in June 2009. Now, the original franchise was set up on the store in 1994. It was for a 10-year term. By its terms, it expired in 2004. Nobody did anything. They just continued on abiding by the terms of that agreement. And under the law of other jurisdictions, I think it's first impression here in Nebraska. I listed in the brief some other jurisdictions that have had to confront this. And
Counsel, did you ask the trial court to consider adopting this new law on franchise agreements extending without a written agreement?
I did. We did submit a trial brief at the conclusion.
Is that before this court that you did that?
That I submitted a brief or made the argument?
Right. I trust that you're correct, sir, in what you're telling me. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, as far as the record's concerned, how do we actually know that?
Sometimes cases get into tied into knots. And this is, take a look at the transcript in this case, as I recall. It's got 900 some odd pages. The case was originally filed just on a note, county court, then it was transferred. There are pages in the transcript indicate because they're in the transcript. Typically, you're just going to have pleadings, but in the transcript in this case, you're also going to find letter briefs that were written, extended briefs that were written, affidavits, and so forth. It's a lot of material. But I'm sure it's in there. My problem is I can't point you to.
No, I'm not asking for a specific page, but you believe it's in one of the briefs that is part of the record?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The theory was presented at the trial level?
Yes.
In your recollection?
But you didn't plead that, though, correct? You pled, you consistently pled throughout your cross-complaint the actual franchise agreement.
That's right. And what I want to come to this morning is that the trial court found that the only effect that he was going to give was the effect of a letter that was sent on June 18, 2009, which is Exhibit 26, and another letter sent in December 2009, which is Exhibit 27. And is going to interpret those as proof positive that any relationship for which Riseburg Stores was responsible to pay ended in June 2009. Now, in order to reach that conclusion, he has to ignore a letter that was authored by Mr. Risberg on behalf of Risberg Stores in October of 2011, which clearly shows that Mr. Risberg and Risberg Stores understood that they were still a franchise store until that time, because that's the letter in which he withdraws, as he says, from the Lamar's system.
Is that 2010 or 2011?
I believe that Mr. Risberg, in his testimony, referred to it as 2011, but I believe it was actually October 22 of 2010.
Yeah, right.
Okay. And if I misspoke, I apologize. But that had to be ignored, and the other two things that had to be ignored were both witnesses. Because Mr. Joslin testified on behalf of Donut Holdings, and if we look at the Bill of Exceptions beginning at page 32, line 10, and continuing on over to 33 at line 7, he very clearly indicates that in the entire time, all of the ingredients, all of the recipes, all of the services from Donut Holdings were available and, in fact, delivered and used by this store in Springfield. And then if we take a look further into the Bill of Exceptions at page 41, Mr. Risberg is giving his narrative, and he confirms what he meant in his October 22, 2010 letter, and says it was a very difficult thing for me to do, but you know, I did have to finally withdraw from the Lamar's system. When I did that, which was, I believe, in October of 2011, which is a mistake, and we're only asking through the end of October 2010 when the franchise wrapped up in damages.
Is that the $33,000 number?
That's right. That's right. And that's when he says he stopped using the Lamar's mixes and took down all the trade dress and changed the business name and essentially tied off any relationship with Donut Holdings. So I think the standard in reviewing the trial court in this case is one of clear, you're reviewing for clear error, and I think this is a clear case of clear error, because virtually everything except those two letters have to be ignored and found incredible in order to...
Counsel, help me out here. As I understand your theory, is this case rests on the fact of our court determining there was an actual implied in fact agreement between the parties that extended beyond June of 2009, correct?
That's correct, based on their actions.
And you believe the judge was incorrect in finding that your client's letter saying we terminate the agreement didn't terminate it because of the letter of Mr. Riesberg in October 2010.
Those two letters, as was testified, were written within a short time, about 6 months after Riesberg stores, certainly other stores, started some litigation against Donut Holdings and saying it's kind of a heated moment. And the letters stated facts, in other words, they stated facts that there was more than one franchise in the number of letters, but they stated the facts. The contract was written in 94 and needed to be renewed in 2004. It wasn't, and therefore appears to be terminated, and you have some responsibilities, which included selling the store back and so forth. They were...
You just used the word appears. The letter was more direct than that, wasn't it? Didn't it say we are terminating the contract?
Yes, I believe it did.
Don't take this wrong, but you're actually asking us to not hold that against your client and accept the Riesberg letter of October 2010 as the letter that does establish there was an existing contract.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
DHI's still providing services after the June 2009 letter?
Yes, they provided services and ingredients until Mr. Risberg and Risberg Stores quit taking them, quit buying them, quit using them in October.
So even though they said they're terminating the agreement, they still
continue with the agreement.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody here today on behalf of Mr. Risberg? Does not appear to be. That concludes arguments for the day. The court is adjourned. You are excused. Thank you very much.